Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's Gospel reading, we heard the parable of the serving master. It's a short parable, but the length of the parable does not determine its power. This deceptively simple parable is filled with rich theological content. The parable as a whole focuses on the servant disciples and on the servant master. The model for true servanthood is demonstrated by the master, and the model makes it absolutely clear that servant brings forth freedom. Excuse me. In fact, in one of the prayers of the Church of England's Anglican liturgy states, "To serve you is perfect freedom." The parable begins, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." A more accurate translation would be found in the King James Version. "Let your loins be girded about and your light kept burning," and your lights burning. These are both calls for the follower of Christ, the servant, to be prepared. Two word pictures appear here. The servants are told to gird or to bind their robes and to keep their lamps burning. The long robes of the Middle East were worn by both men and women, and they nearly touched the ground. They were and are worn without belts. The hot climate makes loose fitting clothing the nearly universal preference of the people. But any strenuous activity or any work requires the wearer to tie a belt or a robe around their waist, kind of hike it up a little bit, so that it keeps the bottom edges off the floor and out of the way so they can move and do whatever work they have. The Hebrews were instructed in Exodus to tie up their robes on the eve of Passover to be ready to travel. Elijah belted himself in preparation for running before Ahab's chariot, and the prophet Jeremiah was told to gird himself as he took his ministry to the nations. In the Middle East, then and today, a person who wears a long robe without a belt is not prepared to travel or to do any kind of work. The parable is speaking of servants, servants who are fully prepared to carry out any order given by the master, regardless of how demanding that order might be. The servant disciple is also told to have the lamps lit and to keep them lit, regardless how late into the night. The parable continues. "And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." So, when are they to expect him? Well, they can expect him when he comes home from the wedding banquet and knocks. And there are two key words that profoundly influence how the parable is to be understood. The translation we heard states that the servants are waiting for the master. A better translation would describe the servants expecting the master. Waiting is passive. It's like waiting for a bus or for a cab. But expecting projects a different mood. Expecting denotes excitement, enthusiasm, energy, much like the expectation of the birth of a child or a grandchild. Also, when the master, quote, comes home, the reader or listener might assume that the wedding banquet is over. And when it's over, naturally all of the guests, including the master, would return to their residence. But most likely, instead of leaving after the banquet ends, the master simply withdraws from the banquet while it's still in progress. And he withdraws to his private quarters, which is most likely in a wing of a spacious mansion where the wedding banquet is taking place. Remember the words of our Lord, In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. The mansion is enormous, containing many, many dwelling places. Next, we are formed in the parable that on the arrival, the master knocks. And that would be shocking to the hearers of this parable. In the Middle East, in those times, and to a large extent even today, only strangers knock on doors at night. Remember in Luke's Gospel a few weeks back, the parable where the friend at midnight goes to his neighbor and he calls out. He does not knock. Why? Because that was the custom in the Middle East. A knock would possibly frighten a sleeping friend, while a recognizable voice calling would assure the people in the house that no foul play was taking place. In our text today, the hearer of this parable is stimulated to ask, therefore, why? Why is the master knocking and not calling? The most likely answer is that he doesn't want his voice echoing through the residence. Whispering cannot be heard through the door, so he can't even whisper. But even a gentle knock on the door could be heard by the servants if they're awake and alert. And by knocking rather than calling, the voice will not echo through the mansion, announcing his absence at the wedding feast or the wedding banquet. As he knocks, he fully expects his servants to open immediately, even at night. Clearly, they are all in a secure environment, and the door that he's knocking on is not an outside door. The door is in the dwelling place, inside the mansion where the wedding is taking place. Yet, you might ask, why did he leave the party, the wedding banquet, early? Well, the final scene gives the following answer to that. It's a little bit astounding, especially for those hearers of this parable in Jesus' time. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at a table. Reclining at a table denotes that he's going to serve them a meal. Maybe he took some of the goodies from the wedding banquet to share with his servants. And it goes on, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or the third watch and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. Remember, the servants are the lowest rung in the hierarchy of a household. But yet, Paul, if you remember, referred to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. The master is seen here dealing with the lowest of the low, which makes his actions to the hearers all the more amazing and countercultural for that time. The way these servants act is an expression of who they are. They're awake because they were awake not because they wanted to earn some kind of reward from their master. No, they're awake because they have a servant's heart and they wanted to serve. The master's final action is the climax of the entire parable. The servants have been waiting loyally to serve him. But on arrival, the master immediately picks up a rope or a belt and girds himself. He ties that belt around his waist to the utter amazement of the servants. And he's tying that belt around his fancy wedding garment to serve them. So the master is going to become a servant and serve. This parable really focuses on Jesus' return, or Jesus' second coming. And Christ is returning. Jesus is coming again. So again, I quote our Lord, "Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men who are expecting their master to come home from the marriage feast, so that we may open to him at once. when he comes and knocks? Are we just waiting for the master to come home? Or are we expecting him to come home? Are we enthusiastic? Are we eager for him to come back? And we must be prepared for our departure and watch with an expecting heart for his return. And the parable is, the parable gives us hope, because when he returns, as we were faithful servants here in this place, it seems that we are going to be rewarded in some way. So again, we need to be prepared for a departure. We need to have an expecting heart. And of course, Jesus also comes to us at the time of our death. And when we pass over to that other side of eternity, may we hear our Master's voice, our Lord's voice say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have fought the good fight, and you have finished the race."